7, and then if you'll flip over, or before, go to Romans, the 12th chapter, 3 through 8. We'll read those in just a few moments. And but I want to ask you a little bit about superheroes. And I wonder, Connor, if you all have ever had any superheroes in your lives.
Yep.
Any superheroes?
Yep.
Who's your superhero?
Dudley Do-Ray.
Billy.
Superman.
Why am I not surprised? Who else has a superhero?
Superman
is a superhero. We have so many superheroes in our society, and our comics have made them so famous, it's unbelievable. But we have superheroes. And I'm sure when you were growing up, you had a superhero as well. In fact, one of mine was Superman, in fact. And even though he was an alien from another place, he had these special powers. And these special powers that he had, he used for taking care of the metropolis. And, you know, with New York having all these superheroes, it looks like they'd be doing better off. But anyway, they have had several that have been there to protect New York and the metropolis area and things like that. And Superman was really great because he really protected law-abiding citizens. He had all these superpowers, and he used every single one of them to help people in danger and out of things. And it was amazing to watch him work. And all of those things that he did, even though we knew were from cinema and from Hollywood, we were still enthralled by the many things he did to help people, and what Clark Kent did. And then we also loved his girlfriend. And just a great, great role model for us in having superheroes in our life and finding out what people can do and using their abilities and powers to help someone else. Webster's Dictionary defines those superheroes as a fictional character having super or having extraordinary or superhuman powers, an exceptionally skillful or successful person. Now, I don't mean to criticize Merriam-Webster by any means, but I think this definition comes up short. And I think having superpowers is one thing, but I also think it's putting those superpowers and those abilities into action that really create that idea of a superhero. If Superman had just lifted weights to show off his muscles, or if he just cut metal or he laser beamed with his eyes to do something, he would have been nothing more than a circus show and people would have paid money to come see him. But he used these particular powers, these superhuman things, to make a difference in people's lives, to help them out of a crisis, to keep the peace, to have things like they should be. Now, this superhero that we talk about, Superman, is one who is of international fame. It doesn't make a difference what country you go to. You'll see the cape. And he may be called a different name, but you'll identify him as a superhero. He is known all over. Well, I'm here to tell you, and hopefully this morning expose the scriptures to you to demonstrate that every Christian has superpower abilities. They have what God has called spiritual gifts and have given them to us. And 1 Corinthians 12 starts off letting us know that Paul, the author of this letter, is going to talk about spiritual gifts, and in elaborating some of these, we'll identify some of those spiritual gifts and super things. Before I begin with that, I want you to know that this series and this sermon is I Love My Church 3. And I want you to think about how you love your church. And we get to the end of the sermon today. I hope that you will say, I love my church by allowing God to use my superhuman, natural, God-given, spirit-filled gifts to build and edify the body of Christ. So we see from this particular passage of scripture here in 1 Corinthians, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The part that I want to zoom in on is the last part of verse 6. God works all things in all persons, meaning that God empowers gifts in his followers. God gives each and every one of his followers at least one, sometimes more than one, a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered ability that is given to us as Christians to serve others and to build the kingdom of God. It is a spiritual superpower. If you will, given just for a moment to give rise to a specific text to help in a specific way, we find that some of these gifts could be exhortation. Some should be giving, others leadership, mercy, service, teaching, administration, discernment, faith, helps, knowledge, and wisdom. And there are many natural gifts that people have, and one of my natural gifts that people have told me that I've had is the gift of gab.
Amen.
I know that's hard for you to believe. However, the gift of gab does no good unless it helps, it builds. And so I hope that God has used that natural gift through the Holy Spirit to give me the ability and the knowledge to be able to share the gospel with people, to exhort you, to build you up, to edify His church. For you see, talk without a purpose is nothing. It's meaningless. And I hope through the gift of discernment, the gift of preaching, the gift of serving, and other gifts that come into my life, that I am able to serve Him and to glorify Him and to build up His church. And these are not powers of my own, but they are powers and they are gifts that God has given me as I've sought Him and I've trained to work in His kingdom. We find that there are two really important things to remember about spiritual gifts. God is the one who picked yours, not you. The passage tells us that God is the one who empowers us. Romans 12:6 says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace He has given us. It's important to realize that we did not apply, we didn't campaign, we didn't buy, we didn't petition to do anything to get these gifts. But God, in His infinite wisdom, His love, His care, His power, knew exactly which gifts you needed and which gifts were best suited for you. Just think, God blessed you and entrusted you with specific abilities to make a difference in your community and beyond. The second thing we need to know about these superhuman powers from God called gifts is it's spirit-empowered gift. Understanding a spirit empowered gift as opposed to a natural ability. As I just said, the natural ability to talk does nothing, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, can build up and edify and encourage and exhort and help us to become what we need. The gift of leadership, the gift of mercy, the gift of helps, the gift of service, all of these things working together in the power of the Holy Spirit can change a church, can change a community, can change a home. It can truly make a difference in everyone's life as we seek to serve Him. And there are several ways you can determine what your spiritual gift is. One thing is when the nominating committee calls you, say yes. And many of you have. It's almost done. Been the easiest year for nominating that I've seen. And thank you for that. But I think sometimes we think about, we can't do something, we ought to just say, okay, I'll try it for 2 or 3 months. If you think that I can do it, I'll step up and I'll do my very best in accomplishing this mission for the glory of God. And you might try for 2 or 3 months, and I will tell you, those 2 or 3 months, if you listen to others around you, and if you listen to God above, you will have that gift confirmed. Or you'll get that peace that it's okay to move on, because that may not be your spiritual gift, that you may need to do something else. But I would submit to you that all of us need to be seeking that spiritual gift that will build up and edify the body of Christ and glorify the name of Christ more than ever, so that we can help one another as we minister our gifts one to another in the body of Christ, that we also might be drawn to Him and drawn to others and ministering to our community. We find that you have a superpower in your life, and that is the Holy Spirit, who will give you a gift and more gifts as you seek Him and as you work in His kingdom, as you watch others and you see what God is doing. You'll sense that urgency about getting involved. The other thing is, as God gives you gifts, He doesn't give them to you in a vacuum. But we find that God gives us gifts so that all of us coming together, many parts, can be one body, one organism, one living thing that manifests the glory of God, reaching out to people and helping others in our community. If you listen to the second part of our past day from Romans 12, here's what it says. For through the grace, notice the grace, given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have members in one body, and all our members do not have the same function, so we who are many, listen to this, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. You see, this passage of Scripture complements the one we read in 1 Corinthians 12. That you and I need one another. And here's a thing that might be hard to grasp. But we have to allow the Scriptures to guide us. Listen to this. Your gift was not given to you for you. The Bible teaches that spiritual gifts were given to us for others. What does 1 Corinthians 12:7 say? But that your gifts and my gifts were given for the common good. Your gifts were given to help others, to serve others, to benefit others. They were not given to us for our enjoyment and for our betterment. In fact, Romans 12:4-5 says, it's going to clarify that we purposely and specifically, by design, don't all function the same way with our gifting. We have different giftings because we need one another. Romans 12:5 says, even takes it so far as to say that we are members of one another, meaning each member belongs to all the others. So your gifts aren't yours, they're mine. And my gifts aren't mine, they're yours because they're God-made. And the DNA of our church is supernaturally imposed and infused with these gifts. We find that many times our gifts were given to us not just as an individual, to bind us together. There are some other superheroes you might understand and know about. They're called the Avengers. Anybody seen the Avengers and Johnny Depp? How our Earth was attacked. And how they saved the planet from nuclear attack. And the interesting thing about these superheroes that saved this world through this comic strip and through this movie is that each of them will tell you that they couldn't have done it by themselves. It took these supernatural heroes working together to defeat the enemy and to claim the prize. And that's exactly what God wants us to do in a local body, working together so that we can enhance one another's gifts. We can partner. We can keep each other together so that we might all work as one in glorifying his name and building up his kingdom and drawing people to him. We find that as we understand that these gifts are not ours, we understand these gifts are supernaturally imposed, all of us should learn a lesson of humility about this. We might be good at something, but unless it's imbued with power from the Holy Spirit, it falls flat in the world or it becomes the same as the world. But when the Holy Spirit fills us and enables us, we know it. That God is doing this through us. It's not of ourselves, but God is helping us. It strengthens our faith. It strengthens our relationship with Him. It strengthens our relationship with one another. It also ought to be a lesson of responsibility for us. Humility, because it's not about us, but responsibility because God knew someone else would need your help. They would need your gift. And when you withdraw because of a man or because of men, you decide not to use it, not to follow through with it, you're not allowing God to use you as part of a team that is created to bring glory and to bless others. Thor, one of the main characters in that Avenger movie, couldn't save the world on his own. He needed the rest of the Avengers. It was the same for the rest of them. The truth of the matter is that God doesn't need any of us, but He chooses you and invites you to be used by him. But he does that by bringing us together as a family of God, mobilizing us together, teaming us together, using us together. We find, sure, there's strength in numbers, but numbers brought together by the hand of God and empowered by God, that's supernatural strength. Those are superpowers. And those superpowers can change a church. Those superpowers can change a neighborhood. Those superpowers can change a community for God. And I want you to know that if you're a member of this church, you're part of a superpower team. But we all must realize, just to have superpowers, to be a member of the superpower team, doesn't mean that they're effective if we don't exercise them. I was on a team once, high school football. I went out for football and I got initiated in the athletic club. And I want you to know I sat on the bench in a lot of football games. Right down at the end, I got to play very little. And a few years ago, I got to go back to that town where I went to high school and I did a funeral for a man that my father knew and my family knew. And old Clell Hobson, my coach, he recognized me. He came up to me. He said, you didn't get to play much. But he said, my arm was sore from you always pulling. Let me in, let me in. That's the idea of God. Let me in, let me do this. Let me be a superhero for you. Let me get in the game of building a community, building a church. Let me get in the game, God, of making a difference where I live. Help me get in the game to build this church, to manifest the glory of God, that all people might know this place by our love. And I think, as I was preparing this sermon, I just sat down and reflected, if I could just imagine what our church would be like if every member was allowing God's gift to be manifested in our church ministries. Can you imagine what our community would be like? Like this city would be like if we were all serving in ways that use the gifts that God has given us? Think about it. If someone asked me, you know, this is superhero talk. It's kind of fictitious, but I want to tell you something. It is, and I'm using a play on words. But the seriousness of this is,
I don't want to serve, then
is the power of God. This is the blessing of God. I think that we need to understand that if we don't open our gift, if we don't discover the gifting God has empowered us with, we are not going to grow spiritually. We're not going to be in His will. We're not going to be able to bless others. And you're going to minimize what Cherry Point Baptist Church can do in the name of Almighty God. And I cannot speak for you. Some people may say, I've been there, I've done it, preacher. I'll let the younger people do it. I'll let those people do it. I'll let the smart ones do it. I'll let this do it. God did not say that. And I can't speak for you, but I'm going to speak for myself. I want to be a hero for Jesus. I want to use whatever giftedness God has given me to glorify Him, to help others understand Him, to love Him. But I want to tell you also, before you can do that, there's one thing you have to say. Before you can ever be a superhero for God, you have to first know Him. And that's the first thing everybody must settle in their lives. That is inviting Christ into your life to take control of your life, to let Him know that I want you to be the Lord of my life, and I want to live for you from this day forward. It's simple. He comes by invitation. You simply acknowledge that you need a Savior, that you're a sinner. And you make a simple prayer that you ask Jesus to come into your life, and you receive Him. And you allow His love to cover you and manifest itself in you. You seek fellowship with others who are of like mind, and you study His word, and you get in the game, and your life will explode in Him. The fulfillment, the peace that people are looking for will come. So first you must know Him, and He will imbue you with power. And the second thing, if you're here this morning and you haven't unwrapped your gift, or you set it aside because of all the stuff you've got going on in your life, you just can't get to it, you know this guy. This is the time you need to get back to that package. You need to rip that bow off. And you need to say, God, I want to do all that you've called me to do. And if there's anything I can do to build with you, to glorify God, to let others know that this body of Christ loves one another. I'm willing to do all of those things to build the family of God. It's your decision this morning. It's all of our decisions. I pray that if you are a Christian and you claim Christ as your Savior, then you have a gift. Are you going to use it for the church? Or are you going to leave it unopened? I love my church. I love what it does. I love the impact it's having on our community. I love what it does, has done for my life. If you love your church, number 534. You come as God leads you to come.